Well, we were certainly singing along to that in the studio here because Be My Baby takes to the stage at the ADC Theatre in Cambridge this evening, and delighted to say that we've got Trish Peroni, who's directing the play, and also Rosalind Peters, who plays one of the girls that's, well, looking forward to having that baby. Welcome to the studio, both of you.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Trish, let's start with this. Why did you choose this for Combined Actors of Cambridge?
I love this play. It's got so many underlying stories. We've got this basic story of these four girls, but there's so many other stories underneath it. A few years ago, I did I directed Kinder Transport, and that was sort of about mothers and daughters. And this sort of follows on from that theme. And it's also about mothers letting go of their children, again, as that was. It's obviously something that's at the back of my head. It's just got so much in it. There was, all the women in it have secondary stories as well as the main one. And I just love the depth of it and the depth of the characters. They're all very unique. And it's a lot of truth behind it, which I love.
There's been much talk, of course, lately with some of the children that were sent out to Australia and Absolutely. The horrendous situations that they found themselves in Yes. when they actually got there, when we all thought that it was a jolly good idea Mm. Because it was a new continent and everyone was going to have a lovely life. And obviously, realistically, it didn't quite turn out that way. But of course, a lot of people these days, because with genealogy being very popular, are starting to trace some of those mistakes. And I use that word guardedly, that were made in the 1960s, and mums are reuniting with their children.
Yes, but there are a lot of children who actually have rejected their birth parents as well, and that's hurtful all over again for those birth mothers. There's a lot of heartache involved, I think, and it must make genealogy very difficult, tracing your parents. I think there are very few families, if they looked back, wouldn't be touched somewhere by adoption or this kind of situation. I mean, I know it's touched my family personally. I think it's just when you look into it, I've got adopted cousins and I don't know their background. Mm. It's interesting. A lot of those children have now grown up and they don't know where they really come from.
It is an interesting story, and these stories unfold. I mean, aunties suddenly become mothers who
Absolutely.
We thought were aunties.
Yes.
Sisters become mothers who we Yes. thought were sisters. And it is a sign of the times and the way that women were actually treated Yes. Through sometimes no mistake of their own. What part of that 1960s history does the play cover?
It's 1964, very specifically. It's just a two-month period. These girls are in the mother and baby home awaiting the birth of their babies. And
all illegitimate, presumably.
Yes. They're all unmarried. Yes, effectively, for the time. Mm. The word illegitimate ceased to be used after that period.
And quite right, too.
Absolutely. But they were all unmarried girls. And so, yes, the babies would have been illegitimate. Some of them have boyfriends expecting to marry, but sometimes the boyfriends aren't even told. Sometimes the parents of the pregnant girl, you know, the mother keeps it from the father. Mm. That's one of the situations in this story.
And relationships cut off instantly.
Yes, totally. And the decisions are made for the girls. I think that's one of the heartbreaking things. Years later, it comes back.
Rosalind, you play one of the girls. What's your character's name?
My character's name is Queenie.
Queenie. And what sort of state is she in during the play?
quite a state. She is about 7 months-ish pregnant, I think. She has quite a guarded relationship with some of the other girls. She's very bossy and wants to be in charge. And I've been really fascinated by thinking why that is and trying to delve more deeply into what her backstory might be. And bless her, I think she's had to grow up fast and toughen up fast. So she has develops an unlikely friendship with the main character, whose name is Mary, and it all goes on from there.
Were you surprised when you actually got into the part? I know with combined actors, everybody does their research and it's all meticulously done so that by the time it's presented on stage, you think you're there, I mean, as an audience. But were you very surprised at the attitude of the time to a woman falling pregnant, or a girl in this particular case falling pregnant?
It's really, really interesting because in some ways I feel, more than anything, I think I've realised how privileged we are to live in this generation and this area of the world even, because it's not like these views are dinosaur history. They're still going on in many parts of the world, and I think that's been quite sobering for a lot of us. So yeah, and obviously it's a bit of a there but for the grace of God go I situation, and I know yesterday that really hit a couple of us in the dress rehearsal, and yeah, tears were shed because it's such a moving plight that you see these girls go through, and it does make you think how lucky we are to profit from the generous opinion and the shedding of some less generous opinions that have gone by.
I couldn't have put it better myself. Trish, what do we see? Do we see any births in this?
Almost.
Oh, okay.
We do see a baby having just been born. And we see a bit of the labour process, but we don't actually see the moment of birth, as it were.
How old are the girls in it?
They range from about 17 to 20. Mm-hmm. So, but by today's
standards,
they're
young women, in a way.
Yes, but by today's standards, they were much younger and more naive than today. But as I say, I think one of the hardest things, we forget that under the age of 21, you were still a minor. At
yes,
that
of course.
Point, you could not make decisions for yourself.
Yes, your parents had to decide for you,
yes,
didn't they?
Yes, they could. You couldn't get married without your parents' consent at that time. So the idea of authority was quite different for them, and they looked up to everyone else to make decisions.
What about the costumes? Because I imagine, I mean, there's a 60s and 70s explosion going on in our shops at the moment. I mean, I walk past it and go, well, I had one of those. You know, it must be very boring for everybody else that's discovering it for the first time round. But presumably it was an absolute joy to put the costumes together.
Well, it would have been, but unfortunately they're in a mother and baby home and they sort of wear uniforms.
So how awful.
Yes,
they had to wear uniforms.
That happened. It happened quite a lot. So it's sort of almost gym slip style. But the bumps, the pregnant bumps have been quite fun to practice with, and seeing the girls gradually change shape and size as they grow.
Now you go and tell me, are they cushions or are they special strap-on?
They're a bit more than cushions.
A bit more than cushions.
A bit more special, yes.
They don't tell me they wriggle at the same time and everything.
Some of them wobble a bit. They do have belly buttons.
For your experience as director of this, I mean, obviously you were very aware of it with having done sort of things in this area before, as you just said. But what were the revelations that have thrown themselves up to you while you've been directing it?
I think one of the shocking things for me was the secrecy surrounding it. The fact that the family weren't even told. You know, mother and the daughter, mother made decisions for her pregnant daughter, sent her away.
That was her domain.
That was her domain. Mm. And the rest of the family often didn't know. And I think the secrecy, and even some girls went to their GPs and the GPs made decisions with the mother, girl not involved. But sometimes the GPs were not even told because they were friends of the family. And I think it's the secrecy that's shocked me most. I obviously knew some of this went on, but it's quite traumatic.
I know that. I mean, just me thinking about it and listening to you, we had instances in my own family. I think everyone listening will now start to recall certain things that were said, and it was the way that it was said in hushed tones,
yes,
wasn't it, really? And it is quite fascinating that these days, when anyone paints a picture of the 60s, it was liberating, the pill was there, women's lib, burning their bras, doing all that. And actually, the reality was very different.
Well, one of the things is, too, that although the pill became available in the 60s, unmarried mothers, unmarried girls, were not allowed it to have it.
Which is ludicrous, isn't it?
Which was several years after. Yes, ludicrous.
Ludicrous.
Because they were not considered that they would need it, basically. And yet, you know, human nature is human nature.
Absolutely. Well, look at what happened during the Second World War. Absolutely. I mean, it was a yes. sort of free territory yes. then, wasn't it, really,
absolutely.
As well? Because nobody knew what was round the corner, essentially. What happened to the babies, Rosalind?
What happens to the babies? Well,
I mean, not spoiling the play, obviously.
No, the sneaky plugger in me wants to say, come to watch the play and find out.
You're not doing sneaky plugging. We're doing overt in-your-face plugging this morning, so you can plug it as much as you like.
Fair enough. But it is a difficult situation in so many ways for the girls, especially because these babies are obviously being put up for adoption, and the girls have to wrestle with not really even being able to hold their children before they are taken away, and it's all swept under the rug, as Trish was saying.
It just sounds Victorian, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does.
But before we paint such a dire picture, there is a lot of fun in this play. The girls have fun because they bond.
Yes, because they've obviously got a very lot in common.
That's right. And they listen to this music and they sing along to the music.
We've just played Be My Baby. Obviously, where does the music come from in this? How does it sort of appear on stage?
Well, it is actually scripted, so it's quite clear. And it is scripted as the girls have to work in the home. And as they work, generally, they sing. And then they sing when they're in bed together. You know, they're sort of... At night time, they're sort of singing each other to sleep, sort of thing, and they sing along to the music all the time. So whenever they've got a moment when it's just the girls, music comes into it.
You're going to get the audience singing as well, surely?
Possibly. That would be quite nice.
I would think. Dress rehearsal last night. How did it go?
Very well. We had the tech on Sunday and the dress rehearsal last night. Both went very well. And we're looking forward to going with an audience now.
Yeah, exciting.
I think it's a brilliant choice for this time of year because everybody's sort of coming out of that gloomy old winter. And even if we do get a few spots of snow today, I'm sure you'll warm them up a little bit later at the ADC.
It's nice and warm.
Yes, it is. It's on at the ADC all of this week.
Absolutely.
Are there matinees?
No.
Right,
just
so it's evening performance,
7:45,
and it's the ADC Theatre that people need to turn their attention to. One of the other tracks that is featured is Dusty Springfield. Delighted to know that Dusty is included in this. Her with the beehive, backcombed hair and everything else. Has anyone got to backcomb their hair, by the way?
Unfortunately not. They're working girls, but the other ladies do have a bit more of a creative hairstyle choice. So, yeah, there's minimal backcombing.
So bring your steel combs along tonight and you can sit in the audience and go along and do it yourself. Thank you both for coming in. And I know it's going to be a really successful week at the ADC. It's great theatre, great production, wonderful choice of that. So we do wish you well, and we shall send lots and lots of people along to see. And of course, the worst thing about it is they'll all be singing Be My Baby for the rest of the week. It's going to be an earworm that's going to be going round. Absolutely delighted to meet you both. Rosalind Peters and Trish Peroni. Trish, of course, directing Be My Baby at the ADC Theatre tonight, and Rosalind playing one of the mums.